I have really enjoyed it, and I'm going to enjoy the rest of it. But I told Martha that last night going home, I said, Martha, I don't get to hear too much preaching. I pastor four churches, and by pastoring four churches, I do about all my own preaching. And you've had some good preaching. I think some of the most dynamic preaching that I've heard, and I will have to agree with Ben and all of you, there's a great spirit here. It's been here ever since, well, when we were setting up the tent, you could just feel God's presence. But this morning, all through this week, as I've listened to these men speak, and I've listened to Benny speak, and I want to talk to the laity. I want to talk to you, the church, you, the people. How many of you have ever heard about the Flutie bird?
Not me.
You don't know what a Flutie bird is? Is there anyone here that knows what a Flutie bird is? Okay, a Flutie bird is the bird that always flies backwards. He never flies forward. He's always flying backwards. And he's got a favorite song that he sings, and here's what it is. I can't tell you where I'm going, but I can tell you where I've been. Because he's always flying backwards. It was like the lady that was sitting in the train station. She looks over, and there's a cage with a lazy-looking old hound in it. And you know, there's nothing more sad or more pitiful than an old mangy hound. You know, they can look the saddest of anything you ever looked at. And there was that old hound dog in that cage, and he had that real sad look on his face. So, you know how it is, you're always pronged to stick your finger through the cage, very cautiously, of course. And if he licks your finger, he's all right, pet him. But if he doesn't, look out. But anyhow, she petted him on the forehead, and he was so sad looking. And she went back over and sat down, and then she looked back at him, and she had to go back again, and she petted him on the head, and she said to the man, she said, where is that dog going? And he said, lady, we've got a problem. She said, what's that? Well, he said, he's eat up the tag, and we don't really know where he's going. This morning, I want to talk on the church. I want to talk on the condition of the church. How goes the church? How goes the church? And then another question I'd like to ask is, will church growth just happen? Will church growth just happen? I read to you a very familiar text of Scripture found over in Matthew. In Matthew, the 16th chapter and the 13th verse, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say that thou art Elijah. Some say that thou art Jeremiah and one of the prophets. But he said unto them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And also I say unto you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give to you, note this, and I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Father, we come once again under your great need. We realize that, Lord, we're only flesh and blood. Men that have been empowered, the old tent that's set here, and men have received and men have given. Well, Lord, we've come to another time. Speak to our hearts, that our hearts may be open, that we may hear once again what the Spirit would say to the church. Because we give you reverence and praise. In Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. Amen. The church, and where is it going? How goes the church? Our bishop, not long ago, we were in one of the meetings, and we were talking. And he was talking about the declining of churches. And there is a great decline. Now, some churches are growing and some are declining. In the United Methodist, we have seen a great decline over the past few years. And a lot of your other leading denominational churches are declining. And our bishop was talking about the declining of our churches. And I had to ask the question, you know, how some people are. You can't sit in a crowd without asking a question. I felt very insignificant asking a bishop a question. But I asked him, I said, sir, what are happening to the people? And he looked at me and he said, well, Brother Tommy, they're dying. Well, I don't have enough spiritual sense to keep my mouth shut. I came back to the bishop and I said, are you speaking spiritually or fleshly? Are we dying spiritually or are we dying fleshly? How goes the church? I'm afraid in this church age that we're living in, we're taking God for granted. We feel that God's going to do a work. We say that God's going to have a church just because God said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We think it'll stand regardless of any situation. But isn't it strange that Jesus talks to the disciples and he gives them the great commandment, go into the world and preach the gospel. Oh, that sounds so forceful. That sounds so dynamic. And we quote it so very often, and we use it as though we're the strongest male chauvinists of the pulpits. And yet we go to Revelation, and we find that the same churches that Jesus give the great commandment, preach the gospel. Make disciples of all men, baptize them, make believers of them, bring them into the church of God. Now we find the seven churches, and five are being rebuked. Is that the same church? Surely it's the same church. There was not only a decline in the churches today, but there was a decline of the churches then. How goes the church? Are we reaching the unchurched? I asked the bishop again. I listen to these people, and I love to be in their presence. I like to probe their minds sometime. I stood astonished at one of the statements that he made. He said that 1%, 1/10 of 1%, 1/10 of 1%. That's a very small margin. He said 1/10 of 1% of people that are being saved today are people that never knew Christ. Isn't that amazing? You see, Curtis, we're so busy saving the already saved. We're so busy as pastors going back and patching up and pulling up and cleaning up the mess that Christians have already made. But we should be motivated to the world. We should be motivated to the unchurched. People that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ben has talked about it often. Randy has talked about it often. And today we need to be concentrating upon church and the unchurched. People that has never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the kind of people that we need to be reaching. Oh, they're doing a lot of things. National organizations of religion, they're trying very hard to bring back revival to America. Civic organizations, they will gather in groups, and they're having prayer sessions and many things, trying to bring the church back to the place where it ought to be. They call it back to religion. They call it a going back to church drive. Books have been written by the hundreds. Our politicians we'll now be talking about God and what our nation needs. But Ben mentioned the vision. The Bible said if we lose the vision, we perish. And if we lost the vision, many people today, laity, they will sit in their church, sit in their pew, but the vision is no longer there. You know where our vision goes? Only to the end of our nose. That's as far as we can see. Our vision fades at the end of our nose. We get excited, camp meeting comes, revivals come, people get fired up and get excited about old time religion and what they're going to do. And sure enough, they become willing workers. You know what willing workers are? They take their seat because they're willing to sit back and let someone else do all the work. You, the laity, are the important people. Where would we be today without the laity of the church? Where would we be without the people? I realized a long time ago I needed people and people needed me. I was only the preacher. We talk about David and all the great battles that David won. And he was a great man. You know, he's the man who slew the giant. He's the man who stood against the giant when no one else would. We talk about how he defeated all of his enemies. But we never talk about the army that followed David to defeat the enemy. It was the laity that done the fighting. It was the laity, the people of the churches. And Ben, again, going back to that vision. and the Randy, the vision that they have. But it's going to take people behind them, united with their vision to see things happen. And it's going to take the laity to do that. Amen. The important source of the church is the laity. People that sit in the pew, people who sponsor, people who reach in their pocketbooks and give their money. People that God has called, and you think sometime you're not doing anything, but just one prayer from you can move a mountain.
Yes.
One prayer, and I thought last night as we sat in this tent and Brother Stephen was preaching, and I told him this morning, I said, I feel kind of offended. I feel offended because he was talking about the 8:30 crowd not being like this. You know what he said? But where goes the church? But the lay people are behind David, and they, you are that army. We couldn't survive without you. The church would never be what it is today without you. Every person is important. Have you ever told yourself you're important? Have you ever one time realized that you are a child of God? You are a child of a king. I never will forget one time a smart aleck man said to me, he said, well, Brother Tommy, you could go a long ways if you do things different. Yeah, he did. He said, you could be worth a lot if you do things different. I said, well, sir, I'm going to heaven. How much farther can I go? I said, I'm a king's son, an heir to a kingdom. How much more could I be worth? You see, the laity are very important people. We as a church must equip the lay people, and then they will also realize they are the army. We are nothing without you. The church today is declining because men and women are no longer volunteering for God's great army. We need prayer warriors. If we are to accomplish what we need to accomplish, we are going to have prayer warriors. We're going to have men that will bombard heaven, men that will fall prostrate before God at their face and stay there until they hear from heaven. You know, I used to have problems with the horns of the altar. As a young boy, I used to think those people had biddies in their brain. I couldn't understand that. How the old timers, Curtis would say, get a hold of the horns of the altar. I looked that altar over. I never saw no horns. I said, these people have got biddies in their brains. There is no horns there on the altar. I used to hear them say, get a hold of God and hang on until you receive the blessing. I thought those people were a little strange. But I've come to realize, people, if we're going to see the church move forward today, we're going to have to get a hold of the horns of the altar. We're going to have to go back to prayer and fasting. That's the way these things happen. These things go out by prayer and by fasting. You, the church, the laity, you are the important party. Look at our churches today. On Sunday morning, our crowds are running 300. On Sunday night, our crowds are running 60. On Wednesday night, dare say that we could have 20. You tell me there's not a problem? There is a problem with laity. There's a problem in leadership. We need to get back to God. We need to listen to God. I've heard so many people, and in the United Methodist Church, you'll hear it more than any place, our little church. There are no little churches. They're all big churches. You remember back in the time when Israel was faced with its greatest enemies? They said, we stand before our enemy as grasshoppers. But let me tell you something. They got the job done. Gideon, reduce your army. You've got too many. Yes, but Lord, I need 32,000. No, you don't. You only need 300. You see, if we're going to move the mountains, we must once again listen to what God is saying. Will it just happen? You as a laity, have you decided to grow? I never could. Brother Stephen, I couldn't wait to grow up. I've never been a big man. I kind of envy these big, tall fellows. I love to stand beside them and look at them because I envy those guys. Because, you know, as a young boy, I was a very small boy, and I went in the Navy back in 1952, and I didn't weigh but 120, about 23 pounds. I mean, I wasn't nothing but a stack of bones. And I never forget back years ago when me and my sister was at the house, and I used to back up against the wall, and I'd say, hey, here, how about measuring me? And my sister would take a stick and put across the top of my head and make a mark. Yeah. And then I would go back the next day and I'd say, here, measure me again. And then I'd go back the following week and I'd say, measure me again. And every time she measured me, I'd kind of stretch just a little bit. Have you ever done that? What they call cheating? Yeah, and she'd say, oh, she said, look here, you've grown a little bit. Have we ever measured ourselves, church? Have we ever really measured ourselves as a church? Have we ever really got up against the wall and put our head against the wall and say, God, I want you to measure me with your yardstick. I want you to put the stick across my head and across my mind and across my soul and tell me, am I growing any? I don't know about you, but I can't stand to be in a stale church where there is no growth. Amen. Dead preachers preaching dead sermons to dead people. Amen. That's just about what it amounts to. Have we decided we're going to grow? Have we decided that God is going to give us growth? Why, some people sit on the seat of do nothing, they do nothing. But we've got to decide. It's exciting to grow. It's exciting to change. Oh, look out now, Brother Tommy. You're going to go to Rambling. Yes, I am. A lot of people say we can't change. Oh, Brother Tommy, now wait a minute. Brother Stephen, can I copy you? We can change. We can change without compromise. As a matter of fact, I think that's one of the most dangerous threats today we've ever faced. We have not learned, Brother Stephen, how to change without compromise. This world is changing all around us. If you don't think so, look in the mirror. You've changed. Oh, believe you me, I have too. I don't understand people say, hey, I knew you before you had, I knew you when you had black hair. And they say, I knew you when you didn't have that double chin. I don't understand. I walk up to people now and they say, hey, Brother Tommy, you don't look the same. I don't understand it. I thought I was still that young boy, that young, nice-looking fellow with all that fiber. You know, but then I listen to myself singing. I find out my voice is changing. My facial expression, everything is changing. My hair is getting whiter. And then they say, well, now, Brother Tommy, we can't change. Honey, we're going to have to change. Amen. We're to find a solution. Jesus Christ came into this world, a world that was so full of religion, so full of people who were concrete Christians set in their ways, and He changed them. They said, now wait a minute, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He said, I say not so. Love your enemy. Pray for those that despitefully use you. And let me tell you something. He came into a changing world, and He changed it. Go through the book of Acts and you'll find the Bible said the disciples, 12 men, only 12 men, and they turned the world upside down. Amen. And you say, we can't change. Yes, you can. You don't have to compromise. I take a lot of pride in what I am. I'm a born-again child of God. Yes. I said to God one day, I said, God, Why did you give me four churches? You know what He said? He said, some of them guys can't handle four. You ought to feel proud. Amen. You didn't get that, did you, huh? But it's a change in society. Is God saying to us, you don't need 32,000, Gideon. You don't need 32,000. And He said, I don't want those that are afraid. If you're afraid, I don't want you. Can we grow? Have we decided we're going to grow? Was it Benny that told a story about the boy? No, I'll take that back. It was my good friend Virgil Martin down in Dainese. There was an old drunk in the community, and everybody prayed for the old drunk to get saved. Well, he finally got flat of his back and went to the hospital, and there he laid flat of his back, and no one would come to see him except one elderly lady. And she came with a Bible in her hand, and she had prayer with him and wept his way to Calvary right there on that sick bed. He got saved. She went back to the church and told him that he'd give his life to Christ. Now, that fellow got out. He was a drunk. He was a town drunk. And in the community, one of the meanest hombres that ever was. He came to the church, and there ain't nobody rested since he got there. They ain't nobody rested since he got there. He comes through the door shouting. I got to shake my shouting foot on that one. He comes through the door shouting. And don't ask for a testimony, he'll preach. He shakes every hand in the building. And then if you haven't been there on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, he says, where were you? And he's got that church in such a shamble that they're almost afraid for him to come to church. I held revival in that church, and I look forward to hearing that man hit the door. I mean, when he came in with a praise the Lord, we're going to have revival tonight. And he disturbed everybody in the building. And folks, what I'm talking about, that's the kind of laity that God is calling. He's calling people that are willing to get up off the seat of do nothing and start to do something. We are the important part of the church. Ben Payton cannot do it. Steve Manling cannot do it. Randy cannot do it. I cannot do it. But together we stand. It's divided that we're going to fall. We need to be more together today than we've ever been. I say praise the Lord. Give the Lord a great big hand if you would. Praise the Lord. I want to close with this right here. Because this is my church. Jesus said, it'll always stand. The homosexuals may band again it, the gays, the lesbians. Hell itself may assemble again it. But church, we can grow, we can stand. I want to impress upon you, I want you to go back to your church after you leave this camp meeting. And I want you to begin to take charge. Don't take over. Just take charge. We got too many people taking over now. But just take charge. Talk to your pastor. Ask him, why isn't our church growing? We've got to get to the solution. And once we find a solution, we can get the cure. I'm excited. You see, if the church is sick and it's declining, find out why it's sick and why it's declining. How goes your church today? Are you growing? Have you decided to grow? Or are you like the Flutie bird, always flying backwards? Saying, I don't know where I'm going, but I can tell you where I've been. Are you like the old hound sitting down in the cage at the railroad station? Saying, I've chewed up the tag, and I don't know where I'm going. Would you stand with me, please?